Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Food prices are on the climb, and they could get ready to take another big jump. 2 months of sharp increases in food prices shows that grocers are starting to pass along their higher wholesale costs to consumers. Retail food prices rose 0.4% in March, the same as in February, and that's the largest amount since September 2011. That's according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Pork, beef, poultry, eggs, and milk all have seen dramatic price increases, and fruits and vegetables are expected also to start climbing and get more expensive. And we want to hear what your observations are about the price of food. Have you noticed an increase in cost? Are you making changes to your eating habits? Are you concerned? Call in at 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can email us at thesource@tpr.org, and you can also write your observations, your questions, your comments directly on our show page on our website at tpr.org. Joining us now to talk about these food prices, David Anderson. He is an agricultural economist at Texas A&M. Welcome to The Source, David.
Thanks, David. Glad to be here.
So what's causing the increase in price in food? Let's focus first on beef and meat. What's happening there?
Well, you know, you as you said kind of in the lead-in, whether it's beef, pork, or dairy prices, particularly all of them have been at or are at record high levels. And the reasons are a little bit different across all of those. You know, if we talk about beef, this has sort of been a long time coming to get to record high prices. You know, we start back in late 2006 when really the cost of producing meat really increased, and really that is related to feed costs. And we all know what's happened to fuel prices and fertilizer prices and things like that. But all of those production costs started going up. And when that happens, we started producing less until we can become profitable again. We started cutting into our herds, and then the drought piles on. And so with the drought we've had in Texas, drought in other parts of the U.S., we have the fewest cattle in decades. You know, we can go back 60 years, and we've got the fewest number of cattle. And that's catching up to us in terms of beef production now. And with tight supplies, we got record high prices.
So you're talking about feed cost. I know that we have quite a bit of corn production has gone into fuel. And now we're seeing, a bumper amount of fuel in the country. Do we really need to be putting ethanol into our gasoline?
Well, that's a real good question. And I'm lucky I get to be a livestock economist. And really the livestock industry, whether we're talking beef, pork, dairy, chicken, turkey, lamb, across all of it, you know, it's really our livestock industries that have borne the brunt of these much higher feed costs, certainly related to the growth in use of ethanol, particularly in the U.S., corn-based ethanol. So as those as corn prices went up, as that demand grew, you know, it's livestock producers that really paid the price for it, and now we've got much higher meat prices for consumers as well. So, you know, that's a big part of why we see those higher feed costs. And I think it's important to take a little broader look too. Is we're producing more amounts of corn than ever before. You know, last year's harvest was record large, and we've continued to plant more acres because prices were higher, because those demands were there. But still, from the livestock side, those increased acres don't make up for the prices that we used to see for feed.
Just my own observations. You know, I'll buy a 50 pound bag of corn scratch, you know, for the chickens and what have you, and that's gone up like $2 in the past year or so.
And we see that whether we're thinking about corn for that, or your deer corn for people who are putting it in a feeder, or feed for cows in the winter, or hogs or chickens, or you name it. We see that across the board. And you know, while last year was a record large crop in the U.S., the year before certainly was not, because of a drought in the Corn Belt. And so with large demands for corn and a drought-affected short crop, we shot corn prices in the market to record high levels. And prices for corn are lower than they were a year ago, but they're sure not what they were back in the mid-2000s.
So we can't do anything about weather patterns or drought, but we could do something about the demand on our corn supply. So is that something that is being considered? Is that something that could happen quickly? Could Washington, D.C. decide we're going to suspend the need for putting ethanol in the gasoline?
Yeah. In fact, it wasn't very long ago that EPA relaxed the renewable fuel standard, which mandates how much ethanol that we use in the U.S. And so, by relaxing that standard, you know, certainly the recognition is there that maybe we ought to cut back a little bit. That's been a long time coming in terms of the livestock industry, but and you know, when the renewable fuel standard was passed back in the mid-2000s. The expectation was that we would be continuing to use more gasoline, and since that time, with high prices of gas, we've changed a lot of our driving habits. We've changed the fuel economy of all the cars we drive. We replace an old car with a newer one that gets a lot better mileage, and we've changed our use of gasoline. And so, if we're going to keep blending 10% ethanol, and we're using less gasoline overall, we're using less ethanol. So, you know, I think that ability to cut back that what's required in the renewable fuel standard is, you know, from a livestock standpoint, that's movement in the right direction.
And a lot of people don't see the connection. They don't see the chain of events, how that will impact what they pay for a hamburger, how much ethanol we're putting in our gas tank.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, we kind of we see cows out in pastures. You know, you get out in the country, you see cows. Well, those cows have calves. Those calves, once they reach about, you know, 600 pounds, there's a wide range there, but we get to 700 pounds. And in that range, most all the calves in the U.S. go to feedlots. And those feedlots,
that's where they fatten them up.
What's that?
And they get fattened up a little bit there.
Yeah, we put weight on them, and you get that grain-fed beef. And until about 2 months ago, Texas was the largest cattle feeding state in the U.S. We were surpassed by Nebraska, and Nebraska is where a lot of the ethanol plants are. They feed byproduct of the distilling process, and that gave them a cost advantage. And you throw in the drought, and we have fewer cows, and now we feed more cattle in Nebraska than Texas. But that's that production process. The calves go to feedlots, they're fed to their finished weight, and then we move on to steaks and hamburger and all of that.
All right, so we're going to continue talking about what's happening with food prices in the United States. The only thing that has surpassed the increase in the price of beef in the country is the price of bacon. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Also, we want to hear how you are changing your shopping habits, your eating habits. Are you having to skip beef every once in a while? Tomorrow's Good Friday. It's a good day to skip your beef if you're Catholic. Call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX, and we're going to be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. I don't have to tell you, if you've been to the grocery store lately, you've seen the increase in the price of food, particularly beef, pork, poultry, eggs, milk. They're seeing dramatic increases. The drought in California is expected to push the price of fruits and vegetables also higher. We're joined by David Anderson. He's an agricultural economist at Texas A&M University. And so we were talking about the price of beef, but pork is also shooting up, particularly bacon. 53% it's gone up since January of 2010. And so, Anderson, we're seeing that there's a virus that's killing off a lot of the pigs that produce pork.
There sure is. We have a virus that has occurred in the U.S. It's called PED. That's its acronym. porcine epidemic diarrhea. And it is just as the name sounds. It's a virus that's particularly hard on little pigs, that essentially they have epidemic diarrhea and they get dehydrated and they die. And so what we've had going on, it started last year, is this virus has occurred in the U.S. and it's spread across the country in our pig population. Now, it's important to everybody remember that has nothing to do with people. This is not a people thing. This is a pig thing. And so it's really cut into our pig numbers in terms of hogs that are produced for market to turn into, you know, pork chops and bacon and hams, you name it. And so because of that, we've had a sharp increase in hog prices and pork prices and bacon prices, really driven by the expectation and the fears of less pork as we get into the summer months because this disease is really cutting into our little pig numbers. And by the time they reach their finished weight, we're going to have quite a bit less of them around. So a lot of the increase is driven by companies trying to make sure they've got pork on hand to meet demand later in the year. But also, price is a signal to produce more of them. And so, you know, to try to get producers to try to overcome the effects of the virus by trying to produce more pigs. And so that's what's going on. And we pile that on top of an occurrence that's now several years old, and I think everybody will recognize this. We started putting bacon on everything. you know, bacon burgers everywhere.
Yeah, there's bacon.
Put bacon on it, you know, fried bacon at the state fair, bacon and ice cream, and even lately, I guess it's okay to name chains, but Jack in the Box has had a bacon stuffed hamburger. So we've had this huge increase.
You skipped chocolate covered bacon, which is delicious, by the way.
Chocolate covered bacon. That sounds like a real winner to me. I'm a fan of both of those.
All right, so we're seeing increased demand, contracted supply due to this virus in the hog population. People are eating more chicken now than ever. For the first time, Americans are consuming more chicken than beef.
We are consuming more chicken than beef. If we looked at our per capita consumption, we are consuming more chicken, and we, you know, that's been a long-term change for a variety of reasons. If we went back to the mid-1970s and the changes in the chicken industry, one was we started changing management, changing feeding, changing breeds of chickens that were just much more efficient at converting feed to meat. And as a consequence, chicken got cheaper than beef. And we put on top of that the chicken industry, the poultry industry, did some amazing things in terms of changing consumers' tastes and preferences. You know, we went from, you know, if we went thought back about in the 70s, you know, chicken came one way, fried in a bucket in a couple of, eight pieces that we all recognized. And the industry invented breaded chicken sandwiches, chicken nuggets, all these new ways to eat chicken, and now it was cheaper, and we got these new products, and it's just different ways of cutting up the chicken. And, you know, that led to a real boom and a shift in consumers, really price-driven and item-driven, if
sure.
you will.
So you mentioned the 1970s, and it was interesting because it was around 1975 that we saw this stabilization of food prices in the United States, and they've pretty much been stable up until now. We've seen it's curious. Are we seeing a really gigantic hike in prices now, or are we seeing the end of an era when food was actually much cheaper than it really should have been, or we just saw this golden era of food?
You know, I think that's an interesting point. I think we've really moved to a almost a new plateau, if you will, or jumped up our food prices. And really, I think it's related more than anything else to our production costs. You know, really, prices end up having to reflect the costs of producing them, you know, no matter what that item is. And if we look at food, it costs more to produce our food today than it had. We had a long period of very stable food prices, not rapid changes in those production costs. And if we think of those, what those production costs are, I think the first thing we ought to think about is fuel costs. If we're going to grow a crop, it takes diesel fuel, it takes to run the tractor, it takes fuel to haul the crop to market, to haul it to the, if we're thinking wheat, to go to the flour mill. And it takes energy to turn that wheat flour into bread or into cake or cakes or whatever it is we're doing. So fuel becomes, you know, I think one of those basic fundamental building blocks. And as our fuel has become more expensive, that's reflected in our food costs. But even having said that, we still have in the U.S. The lowest food costs as a percent of our income of anywhere in the world.
Yeah, that's something else too.
Food costs are more, but
that's something else to consider when we talk about the global poor. As food costs do increase, what it does is that it rises the floor up. It makes it people harder for people who are at the margins to actually get good food. And we're seeing how food prices around the world causing political instability. That was one of the reasons that kicked off the Arab Spring. Also, we're seeing problems in Venezuela due to food shortages as well. So this is not just isolated to my kitchen table. This could be a global situation.
You're right. It is we see this reflected worldwide. And I think as we think, too, about the poor in the world or in lesser developed countries than what we have, oftentimes, if you think about what we eat, we do eat more processed foods. There are items that we eat regularly that have a lot more done to them, if you will. They're processed into something. And that means that the agricultural component, the wheat in that loaf of bread, for instance, is a very small component of the total price. If we look at some other countries where they may eat more basic staples that are not
sure, and less meat,
do that processing themselves at home, like rice,
well, there's a rice glut right now. They're saying globally, but
yeah.
So that's interesting. But the other thing is how across the world, and say like in Asia, like in China and India, we're seeing this growing middle class, and they're adopting the so-called middle class diet, and they are eating more things like beef and pecans and things, driving up the price.
They sure are. And people, no matter where you go in the world, when people make more money or they move from poor to more middle class, they upgrade their diets.
So that's what I'm saying. That's one reason why some people are making the argument that this increase in food prices that we're experiencing now, this is not your temporary bump that can be resolved by the increasing of supply. That this may be a permanent situation, that the world maybe has reached its cultivation capacity in creating more and as much food as it possibly can, given unless there's another green revolution, and also with climate change disrupting seasons and creating drought, that we're seeing actually less capacity to grow the food that we need.
You know, I think there's a lot of interesting points there, and I do tend to think that I don't see food prices having gone up as being a temporary increase. I think we've moved to a higher level that we're going to stay at for many of those reasons that you mentioned. Demand-driven growth, demand for more foods, for more meat, for more higher-valued food items, and that demand is driven by growing economies and incomes in the rest of the world. So, from the demand stand side, I think that's with us to stay. I don't think we've reached the limit in terms of our ability to increase our productive capacity. whether it's new crop varieties that are higher yielding or more drought adapted than the varieties we
use. And we're seeing more problems, you know, like this greening virus, which is taking out so much citrus in the United States. The oranges, the price of an orange has gone up 35% over the last 4 years. That's an issue. So many of our food choices are becoming more limited.
They are. I think that citrus greening issue is critically important because there are no and we're going to have to kind of figure out how we're going to try to deal with that because there, you know, I don't know that there are any varieties that are resistant to citrus greening and I like.
Orange juice. Sure, all those good things. I want to thank you so much for joining us, David Anderson. He's an agricultural economist at Texas A&M University. We've been talking about the price of food, how we're seeing the price of meat and bacon and so many items on the increase and what could be behind that and how that's impacting choices at the kitchen table. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you so much for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.